Good morning. Good morning, everybody watching online church this morning. Hey, every single week at Harvest, we are privileged to have first-timers who come and sit and are part of our service. Harvest, you know what to do. Would you put your hands together and just welcome all our first-timers today? If you're here, we just are blessed that you're with us. And we love it when you become a second timer and a third timer and a fourth timer, become part of the family here at Harvest, which is what I want to talk about today. I want to take a few Sundays as we head into our summer series, which won't be too far away. I want to talk to you about connection. Say connection. Connection. The importance of building strong community here at Harvest. And, just before I do that, I saw Dominic wearing his Leafs Matthews jersey. He's already up. He does a great job. Yeah, so I wanted just to know how many Leaf fans do we have in the house? Two really noisy. It's like all minorities in life. I do believe that the Toronto Maple Leafs fans are very righteous people. Because it would require fasting and prayer and leaning into God. And there are righteous people, I can tell. I don't root for any team. I have a Leafs fan I have five boys, and we have a Boston fan. And there you go. They're even louder. Boston sucked this time. We're hoping that they do better next year. All right, since I know nothing about hockey, Seth gets really angry because I'll go, well, what just happened right there? And he's like, shut up, Dad. I'll explain it later. We're watching the game. I do want to take a couple Sundays as we talk about the importance of building strong connection and community. I want to do a bit of a teaching today, lay down some Bible as to why we do that. It's not just a good idea. It's a God idea. God created us for relationship, and he created the house of God to be a place of relationship. We have developed just a very practical challenge for the summer. We're calling it Summer Step Out. And we want you to step out from your own personal comfort zone and think about connecting with another person. This is not a small group or anything like that, just simply an encouragement for you, just like you do on Sunday, to get up and step out and maybe find out somebody's name here as we're in rows, but just to make it a little bit more personal, invite somebody over to your house, to a coffee shop, to a conversation, to a discussion, whatever it might be. And so you're going to see throughout the weeks to come, we have four headers that we've been talking to you already about. If you haven't noticed them, I just kind of want to point at them today. Summer Step Out. Summer isn't a break from connection. It's an invitation to it. And so often summer just affords us a little bit more, hours in the day. Wow, 9 o'clock at night sitting on the porch in the rain, mind you, but hey, at least it's light outside. How many people like sunshine? And it's just a little, yeah, so summer gives us that ability to do some of these things. Summer, step out. It's awkward is better than alone. And it can be awkward, just saying. We're going to talk about some of the strategies to overcome some of those. Do you know right now online some of the largest Googled questions, how do I make a friend? How do I make a friend? You know, interesting that we came from a worldwide epidemic of COVID that kind of put us into isolation, and I'm not sure we've come out of isolation in many ways. And so as a church, we want to build in connection. Summer Step Out, you don't need a plan, just a little courage. Summer Step Out, summer opens doors, so let's walk through them. And so you'll be hearing about that. And it's important to us because our mission at Harvest, and you'll hear it hopefully every week, and sometimes I, you know, as a leader, I've thought, do we ever get sick of saying, no, God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference? And I've realized the power over the years that we've really locked into our mission of how powerful it is that we are aligned as a church. You know, to have a record Sunday, Easter Sunday service, 520 people gather for Easter, over 100 more than last year, predominantly unchurched that were invited by you, and that we're a church church that wants to build a culture where we can bring people to the house of God. The unchurched could come and feel like they can belong here before that they can believe. Give yourselves a hand for being great bringers. I brag about you everywhere. Pastor Jim Drennan was here from First Baptist a couple of weeks ago, and they loved their time here. And he noted, as we talked about the bringing culture that's here. And so he was talking about ethos and culture, and that was the one that he actually talked about, because he realized that it's so easy churches to become kind of ingrown, us foreign no more, and how important it is. And so thank you, Harvest, for embracing our mission to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. And we have different environments that we kind of focus on where this happens. And our Know God is here in this room on Sundays, where we can invite people to experience worship that is presence-centered, throne-centered, that we want to honor God in our worship. We unashamedly express our worship loudly, with passion, because we love God. And we want to create that atmosphere where God, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And so in that atmosphere, God, we believe strongly, like this morning, we sense his presence. He shows up in a big way, touches people's hearts. And so this environment of knowing God, and it's as we're going to see today, and I want to just point out that our know God environment, to have people not know about him, but to experience him, our mission of our time here at Harvest, and to come to a place of seeing Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Sometimes that takes some time as people come, and sometimes it takes a week or two. Sometimes it takes a month or two. And even we've seen over just a year or two where people finally come to that place where they say, I want to become a Christ follower. I want to know God. And all of us want to know God better each and every day. And so in our environment to know God, we say it this way, that we want, and I've said it already, we want people to be able to belong at Harvest before they believe. And I want to point out that when we say that we are saying that we want them, I'm going to use the term for today and the next 2 weeks, village. Say village. A group of people that are interconnected, and they have a common connection, a village. And they're geographical villages are smaller than cities and towns. And it kind of gives that same idea. But for our purposes, a village, our community of faith, our community that hang out here at Harvest. And we want people to belong to that and sense an invitation to belong to something greater than themselves. But at the same time, that we understand from the Bible that a person can't belong to the family of God and have God as their father. The miracle of salvation, when we become born again, that becomes a spiritual thing that takes place in a person's life, that they now understand that they've been born again. God is my father, and they are a part of what God calls his family or his church, the universal church. But in a local church, we believe that as we open our doors and we say to somebody, you can belong, you can know God, that begins far before they come in and sit down. And so there's a process in which they learn about God as their father, and we want them to belong the whole time that they are here, because Jesus died for them. Jesus is longing for them to make a decision. They are that sheep that Jesus talked about. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. And as the shepherd, he's longing to have people come into the fold of his church. But our village, Harvest, is a place where people can belong before they believe. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. That's the spiritual essence of what it means and why we would want someone to be born again and become a Christ follower. And we don't hide that. We say, come and belong. We really do want you to believe. And a person may choose not to believe as Christ is their Savior. We find that's rare. There are not too many people who travel and journey with us that don't see the goodness of God and make a decision on a Sunday morning, usually at the end of a service, and then to make public declaration, and I'm pointing to where our baptismal tank sits when we have public baptism. John 17 says this, I in them, Jesus talking in a prayer to his Father, I in them and you in me. He says, Father, we have this remarkable relationship that's existed from all eternity so that they may be brought to complete unity. And so the unification of the Godhead, which we're going to look at in a moment, that it speaks to us this morning, and that we enter into that unity, that we become one with God. And then it says, as that takes place, that as we're one with each other, as we begin to understand the spiritual connection, not just our village connection, although I want to talk about that because that's where it begins, but our spiritual connections as we celebrate those in the house of God. He said, then the world will know that you have sent me, that you will love them even as you have loved me. I'll paraphrase it this way. When the world sees a village that loves one another, cares for one another, and watches out for one another, and there's true community, the world's going to say, I want some of that. Come on, somebody said. And so our mission at Harvest, when we say no God, our mission is not just to have great worship to create atmospheres where people can encounter God's power and presence and healing and miracles, but it's that we are connected here in the room and way beyond, so that when we come in the room, that connection is something that's not really measurable, but it's felt and experienced. And when people see it, appreciate it, understand it, are invited into it, not just invited to sit down in a service, but invited into a relationship. The Bible says clearly here, they'll know God. So let's just lay down some foundation that I'm preaching to the choir for some, a reminder for others, but I think as a church, just really good for us this morning. In the beginning, say in the beginning. God's creating the heavens and the earth. God's intention. We go to Genesis to see God's intention. The earth doesn't work the way it should. It's not the way God intended. People will often ask, what kind of God? And they'll fill in the blanks. You know, war and sickness. And well, God didn't intend for that on the earth. God gave the earth. God gave the earth for real to mankind. When you give something to someone for real, you can't take it back. And so God didn't take it back. Adam and Eve passed, because of their sin, the authority of this world to Satan. And so the world under Satan's rule doesn't work the way it should. And we see sickness and war and all those things. But then Jesus died on the cross to break the curse of sin and death. And he has a people that he wants to showcase on the earth before he returns, his church, to show a different way of living, a different kingdom, the kingdom of God. So in the beginning, we see how God's intention of how it should be. The Lord said, it is not good for man to be alone. And all the married men said, you're not sure? We do a marriage conference instead. Let me just push my notes across and let's just talk about how great marriage is. And all the married men said, man, we're not alone. Single men, believe God for your partner. Single woman, women, maybe it'll happen here at Harvest. Who knows? The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. In Psalms chapter 68, God places the lonely into families. I love this verse, God's intention, that as the world began, there wouldn't be aloneness. Adam wasn't going to exist outside of community. And so God says, of course, there's Eve, and then there's family, and so on and so on, and we'll look at that in a moment. But after the fall, something called loneliness is a reality of sin. Isolation and separateness. And God places his answer to the lonely is to set people into the village, into family. He sets the prisoner free and gives them joy. Why would lonely people be called prisoners? And why wouldn't they have joy? If you're suffering from loneliness today, I don't have to tell you the reason why, but perhaps some of us need to be reminded that loneliness is at an all-time epidemic rate across the globe. The American Psychological Association, or the APA, has announced their annual convention, in fact, it was last year, these are 2024 that I'm reading from, that loneliness and social isolation is a greater public health hazard than obesity and all of the things that come with that, diabetes and so on and so on. And that the impact is growing as more people are experiencing a lack of social connection. And the statistics that they gave really are astronomical. Well over 60% of the population would self-identify as being lonely. When we are supposedly the most connected that we've ever been. And what Zuckerberg thought would bring the world together, in fact, I think has done the opposite in many, many ways. I'm not an expert on social media or its effects, but I know how even in my own life, it's sometimes easier to hide behind a text, to hide behind a social media post than it is just to sit down with somebody and have real life, real community, face-to-face conversation. The APA presented data from two studies, one of which found that greater social connection is associated with a 50% reduction in the risk of early death. If you knew you had a 1 out of 2 chance to live longer, if you stopped being isolated and came into community, would you choose to do that? Let me reword it. If you knew that the science was solid and you could take a supplement in your diet that would cause you to live a few more years, 10 more years, 20 more years longer, and you weren't going to experience early death, wouldn't you sign up or look at it a little bit more? And so the science is sound on this. This is not some controversial backstage somebody promoting themselves with news. This is the science. And I checked many the Harvard School of Medicine. I checked and fact checked. This is at an alarming rate. A previous study by the same researchers found that loneliness and social isolation are as damaging to our health as smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. Or vaping, the equivalent, I suppose. Loneliness is not God's plan or God's work. There is an enemy at work in planet Earth, and an enemy who hates what God loves. And God designed us to be in community. So God created Eve and Adam and Eve, and he gave Adam and Eve everything that they needed to thrive, to grow, and to live together on the earth. And as the first two humans lived together with God in the garden, they were naked and unashamed, as you would read the account. Naked, unashamed. When was the last time you were naked and unashamed? Just saying. Most of us are very body conscious. The world is body conscious, let alone to walk around without covering to cover what we're ashamed of. And we're not talking sexually here. We're just talking about body image and body shaming and all of those things. That was actually a funny thing about being naked and unashamed. And when was the last time you felt that? But that's okay. You're a really serious bunch today. I'm going to push through. They lived together with God in the garden, naked and unashamed, no shame before each other, no shame before God, just free, beautifully exchanging love in the safety of authentic relationship. That was what was God's intention. And we're a long ways off of that because of the fallen world, but the model isn't just the garden. We can find the model for relationship, and this is really important this morning as we go right back to the initial building block of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And as we read about their relationship throughout the scriptures, where Jesus is always honoring the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's honoring Jesus and preferring him. And so a lot of people, even when we talk about Holy Spirit, who is he? A member of the Trinity that we honor here at Harvest. We love Holy Spirit. We love the Holy Spirit's presence in the church today and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we pray and thank Holy Spirit. And sometimes people get a little freaked out about that. Like, I thought we were praying to God. Why are you praying to Holy Spirit? Well, he is God. Holy Spirit. God in his triune, which blows our mind and we can't fathom it. That's why we're not God. But the scriptures teach us plainly, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, the three in one, three personalities and yet one being. We can't comprehend it. But perfect unity, perfect relationship, perfect and mutual love. And out of that self-giving, self-sacrificing love, we see the birth of humanity. The humanity was created because of relationship, because of it. Say because. Now, sometimes we say, oh, well, God created us for relationship. Secondary, primarily out of relationship. I want you to think of it this way. You have a little boy or a little girl, maybe both. If you're lucky, you had one of each. We kept trying. We got five boys. We got some beautiful daughter and loves now, and that's really cool. And we got some granddaughters, so kind of figuring that out. But you know, little boy, little girl, mommy, why, where did I come from? Why was I born? And there could be several answers to that. And mom, in her wisdom, thinks about it for a minute, and she doesn't say, well, one day I want you to grow up and give me grandchildren. And so that's why you were born. Now that's what I understand now. And that's what I would have said to them now that I know what it is to be a grandparent, how awesome grandkids are, how awesome it is that you send them home. And I love to make sure they have a lot of sugary treats. And we were recently at a reception for Karen's wedding, and Sterling, who's the youngest, for Ryan and Brittany, he won't be the youngest for long as they're going to have their fourth child. But Sterling, we were picking out cupcakes, and he was taking a lot of time to do that. He was studying it, and I figured, Sterling, you're studying this. You obviously understand cupcakes. They had big gobs of icing. They were so good. And you understand this more than I do, so which one are you choosing? I'm going to choose the same one. Well, he stepped back because now his choices, and Ryan got mad at me. He goes, I've been standing here already for a long time. Just let him choose a cupcake. I go, no, this is important stuff. And so he chooses it, and he looked at me, and he wanted me to choose a different one. I go, okay. So I follow him to the table, and he takes a big bite out of the icing on his, and then he looks up at mine. He'd actually chosen two, and see, he's just a lot smarter than the average bear. And so because he looked at me, and I go, oh, you want to trade? And so we traded, and he ate the icing completely off of mine while I was holding, watching. And then he looked up again. Oh, you want to trade back? And so he had all of the icing off of both, and I made sure he had a few other snacks along the way. See, being a grandparent is awesome because you get to send them home. But we didn't tell our kids. We said, you were born because mommy and daddy loved each other so much. And depending on age-appropriate explanation, that God gave us this wonderful gift of being able to create you. And so out of love, mommy and daddy created you. And so that's the essence. You must understand that God created Adam and Eve. He creates us out of a love affair. We were created out of love. Yes, to be put on mission for that love to continue to grow, because eternal love is so vast. It's so great. It's so much of it that a whole world can receive it. God so loved the world that he gave his son Jesus. But as we think about this today and the importance of this today, that it begins in the garden. We were created because of that relationship, not for relationship. Adam and Eve enjoyed some benefits as we can. God's intention, proximity. They enjoyed physical closeness, emotional closeness to each other and to God. There weren't barriers. There weren't things to work through. They were created in perfection and enjoying that. And God wants to restore us as we'll live in the new heaven and the new earth. And we're going to hang out with each other in community for all of eternity. And God said, I want you to practice, overcome some things here on the earth, so you're ready to be my people for all eternity. Transparency. They were naked and unashamed, fully known and fully loved. We all long to be fully known and fully loved. Accountability. They lived under submission to God and to each other. There was no hiding until sin. They hid. But before that, God's intention that in relationship, we're not wearing the mask. We're not trying to be something we're not. because we're ashamed and afraid, but the freedom to be who God created you to be. And all the free spirits in the room said, hey, man, yeah, that would be awesome, right? All the introverts said. That was nervous laughter there. All the extroverts, free-spirited people said. And then the introverts aren't feeling pressured to be that at all. We can just be who we are. We're not dragging you down, and you're not going to pull us up, but we're going to meet and be together in accountability and transparency and proximity, shared purpose. There was a mandate to increase the family and consistency. They didn't quit on each other. They needed each other. They shared everything together. They worked things through. I grew up in a village. It was called Mount Bridges. There's no mountain there. It's the high spot on the CN rail line. And some guy that was surveying it back in the day with the last name Bridges decided to name the village after himself. There was a train station built there. And apparently if you were on the roof, you could see Komoka, the village that was to the east. And you could see Glencoe and Melbourne to the west. And it's very flat. And so it's like anthill higher in elevation, and named it after himself. But it was a village. We had the amenities, a little Foodland grocery store. My favorite place was the Pro Hardware store that still had plankwood floors. You would go get your seed potatoes in the spring. My dad did. And we would get our gardening supplies, and you could smell the fertilizer. And if I pause for a moment, I can just that memory of the smells. Bought my first firearm at the gun section. It was a village, and we knew Mrs. Small at the post office. And Saturdays I would go with my dad to the dump and wave at Mr. Germain. And it was a village. We knew one another. We did life with one another. The joys of being in a village. How many remember Little House on the Prairie? Anybody remember that? Oh, great. So you remember this character from Little House on the Prairie, Mrs. Olson. And when the telephone line came through in Little House at Walnut Grove, she would listen to all the conversations. And she's quite a character on the show. And it reminds us that people make up the best part of life. People make up the worst part of life. And we'll get into that a little bit later in the series. A village. We moved to Ingleside when we first came back to Canada. And for that reason, I had a little bit of a longing in my heart to get back to that, and would go to the hardware store, and they still did the seed potatoes and all of those things. And I would go in. There wasn't wood plank floors, although there was one until just recently downtown in Cornwall that you could go to and see a time capsule of a hardware store. Villages just afford us the opportunities to interact. I'm talking about the village of the house of God, and I'll draw some analogies. North American Christianity likes to be in isolation. Me and Jesus. We get saved. I do my personal devotions. I do my own Bible studies. And we add on so often that the community aspect of church gets added on. And I've been bold enough to say, people have asked me, because I'll say things kind of edgy and you know, what I believe the scripture is teaching. They go, so Pastor, are you saying you can't be a Christian and not be in a local church? And I go, well, yeah, close. And only God can judge. But what I'm saying when I suggest how important it is to be in community, that God designed it that way. The cross had both horizontal and vertical aspects to it. He not only restored back our relationship with him. It's not good for man to be alone. And just if Adam could have remained in the garden alone and had this awesome relationship the way many Christians do and actually boast about and won't bring their lives into community, I suggest you're alone. If you like that, it's not good for you. It's not good for you. God wants us to be connected, not because it's good for us, because it's the fundamental reason of our creation. When we talk about connection, most of us will talk, if the team, worship team can come back up on the stage. When we talk about connection, and laying down this foundation, most of us will think immediately to break loneliness, to break some of what we may be experiencing, is that we want a BFF. We want best friends forever. We want a best friend. We want some close relationships that we can cherish. And girls, for that person that'll come to the door with your favorite snack food and just say, hey, it's movie night. And just come in unannounced and you can jump on the couch and have a beverage and watch a movie. And there's just that, my BF, just we do life together. And this is amazing. And I could go on to describe. And guys, just that guy that you could just be yourself with and talk about deep things, not just how many points did the Buck have. Wow, that was a great play. Wasn't that a great play? The hockey game? But you could talk about what hurts in your heart and my marriage isn't really going the way it should. I don't really know how to be a dad with my kids. And talk about some deeper things that as we looked at God's intention of proximity, accountability, and just getting strength from another, best friends. But here's the thing I want to talk about today. Because even dating, the work of dating, that we sit lonely and we want a partner for life, and you can do this and it does all the work apparently for you, and nothing against at all. I know there's some great connections and families that we know of, and that are even here at Harvest, that there was online dating. I'm not against that. Please don't misunderstand. What I'm saying is that society has, yes, there's a tool, but many people, when it comes to best friends and significant relationships, are sitting in their loneliness waiting for a best friend to show up. And then when we begin to try to figure out relationships, we're clumsy with it. Probably awkward, if we'll be honest. Some of us over-spiritualize it. Maybe you've been in church for a while, or you're in church and you're going, this. One of the things we pride ourselves in at Harvest is to be, I think we're a really friendly church. Just checking. If you think we're friendly, can you just put your hands together and go, we're a pretty friendly church. I thought so too. But somebody texted me and said, hey, we tried your church out, and it was one of the most unfriendly churches we've ever been to. I'm thinking, dear God in heaven, what kind of an extrovert must you be? Because we're sensitive that we freak people out sometimes. As you dig into it, you find out they were expecting something even before they got here. And sometimes we have issues when we're in community and we get lonely, and then we start thinking, I thought our church was supposed to be. And Summer Challenge is about, this is all of ours to take responsibility for. And it's all of ours to realize you can't sit in loneliness and expect a best friend to walk through the door. In fact, that's not even how it works. I just want to show you this last slide. As we look at this graphic this morning, outside of this room even, most of us have 150 acquaintances. That simply means you know somebody's name, you know a little bit about them, you recognize them. Either they did a job on your bathroom, or that's your cousin's father's person that you met, and you met, what a small world it is. And you did one of those, and you made another acquaintance, 150 that you could kind of do that with. We have acquaintances. Say acquaintances. And then there's the village. And in a real life village, neighbors get developed. Something happens when the power goes off and you're on a well, and it forces rural living, sometimes forces where you draw on those village relationships. They're the ones that show up in the middle of the night. They're the ones that, just are there. And then it kind of grows, and somebody dies in the family and they don't know what to do except bring in food, and there's enough food on that rural dining room table to feed the whole village. A village, a group of people. It's diverse. We're not all the same. We're different. We talked about that a few weeks ago. But it's consistent, interconnected, the house of God, our village. But what happens is we expect to skip the village stage. And the science of this is sound. This is science. This is what psychology is telling us is the missing piece in society. More so, we'll just change village for the house of God. Where we don't really know beyond name and face somebody's story. Having somebody at our table to share some lasagna and garlic bread. When I was a kid, I remember the pastor teaching something like this, and he said, it doesn't have to be fancy. Bring out some toast and jam and just break bread together. That just came to me now. I had forgotten all about that. Toast and jam? I'm not going to somebody's house for toast and jam. They can do better than that. That's what my thought was. I'm going back somewhere I shouldn't be. The village. And then out of the village, what we want is 2 to 5 close friends. And we want that, and I think that that's healthy, and we should have that. But you will never get that without putting the work into becoming a member of the village, a contributing member in the village, and know the village. And so this morning, this is not, I think we're doing comparatively to other churches, I think we do well compared to God's intention and what the world needs. Can I just say, as your pastor today, we can do better. And I think that this season, as we're talking about summer challenge, this just having someone over to our house, sit on the front porch, go for a bike ride together, whatever it might, we need to know who's in the village and connect at the village level. And then the next step, identify your village. I don't even want to jump to the next step, because if we don't build the village, there is no next step. Because you're expecting in your loneliness someone to step into a best friend position. It's not going to happen. It's impossible. It's like getting married after one date. And if you did that, you're still together. God bless you. You're not the norm. You're the exception. With every head bowed and every eye closed today, we're just going to end our service. We're going to worship in a moment, a final song, and we'll be dismissed. But just a couple things before we do that. One, if you're lonely today, you say, Pastor, my heart aches. I don't even like thinking about this. If I'm honest, I'm lonely in my marriage. I'm lonely in my family. I'm lonely at work. I'm lonely. In a sea of people, I'm lonely. The promise of the Bible this morning is that God places the lonely into families. And I don't know what work the enemy has been doing, but today I just want to pray a prayer. I want you to agree with me. I want to break loneliness, because it's a spirit. It's a demonic spirit that separates us. It'll do everything in its power to separate us into isolation. It's the old tactic of carnivores with herding animals, and they'll get the weak off to themselves and get them isolated. They begin to believe a lot of lies. They begin to give up. And in fact, they won't even fight back when the lion takes them. It's almost as if they're relieved. I'm going to get eaten. All across this room today, Father, I just pray for those who would identify that they are lonely today, isolated, broken, broken off. And Lord, they're longing for more. And I pray, first and foremost, I take authority in the name of Jesus over the spirit of loneliness and isolation. And I say, you no longer have a hold. You must let go in Jesus' name right now. Because God said, I will set the lonely prisoners free and bring them joy. And Lord, I pray for this scripture that we read this morning, the power of God's word to be wielded as a two-edged sword across this room right now. In Jesus' name I pray. And Father, I thank you for the stories that today is a beginning day for someone to begin having hope and faith to come into the place of feeling connected again. Just before we dismiss, I just want to ask the question, if you're here today and you felt like you fit in, you belong at Harvest, but you've never made the decision to believe in the gift that Jesus gave on the cross, to acknowledge that we are sinners separated from God. We love that you're learning how to connect to others, but you will never know the fullest experience until you know God. And today would be your day. That the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and you would say, Pastor, I want to come into the family of God today. I want to know God is my Father. I want to be forgiven of my sin and receive eternal life. And if that's you today, what I want to do is just count down from three, three, two, and one. As every head's bowed and every eye's closed, I'll ask you when I say one to raise your hand. It'll take courage, but I'm just the one seeing you today. And basically you're saying to me, Pastor, I want to do this. And would you pray with me today? And I want to pray a prayer with you in a moment. We're all going to pray it, every one of us in the room, but I'm going to ask you to make it your prayer, a prayer of salvation, receiving forgiveness and eternal life. And three is for you today, two and one. Just raise your hand today that I can see it. I'll acknowledge it, and we're going to pray today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else today? Just wait a moment. We love it at Harvest when this takes place. And this is our prayer for you, that you would know what you're going to pray for, that Jesus says yes to every time. God loves you. Harvest, we're all going to pray this together. If you raised your hand today or you're online, you can text, I'm making a decision today. Pray this prayer with us. Dear Jesus, today I know I am separated from you because of my sin. I acknowledge my sin today. I've broken your law. I'm separated from you. Jesus, you died for me. You died for me. Come in my life. Forgive my sin. Jesus, I receive forgiveness. I receive newness of life. I receive eternal life. Today, I am born again. I am part of the family of God. Come on, Harvest, would you put your hands together and congratulate those who have prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time. I would just ask you to take one more step. When you came in today, you received some notes for today's teaching. And on it, there was a spot that said, I prayed the prayer today. You can check that off. Give it to a host team member. They're wearing a black shirt today. We simply want to congratulate you and give you your first Bible. God bless you. Let's sing this before we're dismissed.
Father, we just thank you this morning. God, we thank you for community. Father, we thank you for family. God, we thank you for our tribe. God, I pray this morning that those that haven't found their tribe, haven't found their group, God, that you will just bring people into their lives. Father, they will no longer face loneliness, but they will face fulfillment, God. Father, we thank you this morning for everything that's happened here. And Jesus, we just worship you. In your name we pray, amen. God bless you, Harvest. Have a great week. We'll see you back here next week.